HawkeyeNation.com. We'll get to him in just a second. Good show for you playing today. The Cubs and the Cardinals are underway on the north side of Chicago. And let's just say it has not been a good day for the Cubs bullpen. The Cardinals lead 11-3 in the top of the eighth inning. The Cubs have won every single game out of the All-Star break, and it looks like that might change this afternoon in Chicago. We'll get to Hugh Freeze and his resignation at the University of Mississippi. Jeremy Birmingham of the Land of Ten will join us to round out our countdown to kickoff. He'll preview the Ohio State Buckeyes. That'll be at 4:35 p.m. We'll preview Big Ten Media Day from the Iowa angle at 5 o'clock. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy head baseball coach, will join us for Touching All Bases at 5:35. Love it or leave it at 6:05. And we're going to reset our Big Ten preview at 6:35 to round out the show. I'll bring in Rob Howe from Hawkeye Nation. Rob, I don't know when you got the call to do this, but we are very glad that you're here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Yeah, I listen to you guys pretty much every day in my kitchen while I'm cooking dinner. And it's nice to be on the other end here and getting the chance to talk some sports with you guys.
Well, we figured since you're such a regular guest on the show.
Although I did not make the list.
Okay, I'm so glad you brought that up. In case you forgot, when this show was formerly called the APC, Tyler and Todd, on Tyler's last day in Cedar Rapids, had a draft. And they drafted the guests that we have regularly occurring on our show. And I was tabbed as Mel Kuhn, basically a knockoff of Mel Kiper. I had my draft board ready. I had my list ready. And they drafted. And it became apparent right away that they weren't really putting a premium on people who cover the Iowa Hawkeyes. I think Mark Morehouse was drafted first overall by Tyler. And then we got down my big board, and I realized that the number one guy on my list had not been drafted, and Rob, that was you. So I just wanted to say, and I'm not trying to suck up here, but you were number one on my big board.
And I appreciate that, and that was why I agreed to do this show.
So if I'm out and Todd is in,
well,
no dice?
There'll be a decision to be made at that point.
Well, a lot of Cubs fans in Iowa City and in Cedar Rapids here at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub. Happy hour is going on right now. $2 domestic pints, $2 domestic bottles. Oh, my goodness. $2 domestic pints, $2.50 domestic bottles until 7 p.m. That is their happy hour. You can come on in and watch the end of the game. Not a good start for the Cubs in this series, but they've been – I was talking about this, and I'll get to this in Love It or Leave It, Rob, but the NL Central was, for the first half, it was a lot of mediocre baseball. We saw the Cubs really fall into that swoon. They were 43-45 at the All-Star break, and all of a sudden, the Milwaukee Brewers, who were atop the division, they're falling back, and it looks like the NL Central is starting to shape up the way we thought it might.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, during the break, you know, when you live around here, full disclosure, I'm a Mets fan, so I've got no dog in the race, horse in the race, whatever you want to say. But you looked at the Cubs and you were like, at some point they're going to start playing better baseball. And I think you could say the same thing about the Cardinals. And the question was, can the Brewers continue to play at the level they were playing at? They're still young, still unproven, a lot of guys that haven't been in this position before. And I felt like the Cubs were in good position. And then they get Quintana, and that just ratcheted it up a little bit more. I mean, that was, I think, getting another starting pitcher of that caliber just takes them to the next level. I think that really was the one of the missing pieces. Because with hitting, eventually it comes around. And I thought their hitters would come around. It was a matter of, you know, is John Lackey still have it? Is Kyle Hendricks was last year, somewhat flukish? Now you don't have to worry about that. You've got Lester and Quintana as your 1-2, basically. And then Arrieta, I think, isn't what he used to be, or isn't what he was when he was a Cy Young year, but he's still solid. If you put him at that 3 spot, you're good, 1-2-3.
And I agree with you. The offense, people were worried about it. Make no mistake about it. The Cubs underperformed offensively throughout the entire first half, but you had the sense that was going to come around. The pitching staff, you weren't so sure. John Lackey's getting old. You talk about Jake Arrieta. He's nowhere near the Cy Young Award winner that he was a couple of years ago. with Quintana in there, do you trust this starting rotation the way it is, or do you think they need to make another move?
It was interesting. I think Jeff Passan, I think that's how you always say his name from Yahoo Sports, he threw out there today, or Texas has kind of thrown a line out there that Yu Darvish is available, free agent at the end of the year. And one of the first names mentioned in the story was the Cubs. Now, you had an arm like that, I don't know what's going to cost you. Your minor league is pretty much depleted at this point. It's probably going to cost you Happ or Schwarber or something of that ilk, Baez. Do you make that move, or do you feel like, okay, this staff is good enough to win now? Maybe you add another bullpen arm, as we saw today. Maybe another bullpen arm is good to go. I think if you have a chance to get Darvish for the stretch run, as long as the price isn't too high, I add that extra starting pitcher.
And that'll be interesting because Theo Epstein has said throughout this entire process that they didn't want to go out and get a rental. They didn't want to go out and get a guy that they would only have for a few months, and then he'd be a free agent. Well, they went out and they got a guy like Quintana who's locked up for three more years. Now, do they change their tone and decide to go another direction?
I'm not a Sonny Gray guy either. I know a lot of people have him as like the second best guy because he's controllable. He's broken down quite a few times for the A's just in terms of smaller guy. I would, if the price is right, I would definitely go with the rental over Darvish. And then maybe you re-sign him. I mean, you're the Cubs. You got money.
Yes, they do. I hear a lot of talk about whether they're going to be in on Bryce Harper in a couple years and all of that. And Jake Arrieta will be a free agent at the end of the year, and I'm sure we'll get to that towards the end of the season. Wanted to get to this story, and I led the show with this. News out of the SEC yesterday. There is one less football coach in the SEC than there was yesterday. Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss resigned. And you think back a few days, actually last week on our 6 o'clock showdown, one of my questions was, which former Ole Miss head coach is suing the university that he used to coach for? The answer was Houston Nutt. And that story has come full circle because Hugh Freeze, for years, and Rob, you know this as well as anybody because you cover recruiting, you've covered college football recruiting for quite some time. When Hugh Freeze took over, it was not a good program. The Ole Miss was not in a good place. They were under 500 the year before he took over. I think they might have won 6 games his first year. And without winning any games, he was able to pull in some of the best recruits in the country. You talk about Laquon Treadwell. You talk about Robert Kimdichie, Laramie Tunsil, just some of the top recruits in the country. And that raised a lot of eyebrows right away. Whether it was from former coaches, current coaches in the SEC, people who cover recruiting. And at that time, I think it was 2013, Hugh Freeze had tweeted out that he got a little bit annoyed with all of the questions about his ability to pull recruits in. He tweeted out on, this would have been February 1st, 2013, if you have facts about a violation, send it to compliance at Ole Miss. .edu. If not, please do not slander these young men or insult their family. Now let's fast forward a few years. Let's go to the NFL draft last year. Laramie Tunsil, one of those big-time recruits, basically admits during the draft, after the video of him smoking marijuana out of a gas mask surfaces, he admits to the media that one of his former coaches paid him. And there you go. The NCAA comes in, they're constantly, I mean, they're pressing Hugh Freeze, they're investigating, and they're about to rule on this investigation, and Hugh Freeze this entire time trying to fight back brought up the name of Houston Nutt, the former Ole Miss head coach, and he basically blamed all of the, I think, 14 transgressions that the NCAA dug up. He said they were Houston Nutt's fault, even though the NCAA ruled that 9 of the 14 happened under Hugh Freeze. Well, Houston Nutt and his lawyers, he lawyers up and sues the university. And apparently, reports say about a week ago, Houston Nutt found this damaging information that Hugh Freeze had called an escort service in Tampa. Apparently it was a one-minute phone call. Hugh Freeze tried to say it was a missed dial, and who knows if it was, but the university looked into it, and found that there was a strange pattern to his phone calls and basically forced him to resign. Just an unbelievable turn of events this past month or so at Ole Miss.
It's the SEC.
It is.
You know, there's such crazy stuff when you think about Petrino and, you know, just the stories that come out of the SEC. And I think that one, that it happens frequently in that conference, kind of softens this blow, and you shake your head a little bit, but it's not that surprising. As you said, he was under investigation, 14 violations. So that's not just a slip-up.
No.
I mean, that's a pattern in and of
it
itself.
Is.
The interesting thing to me that stuck out was, why is he calling an escort service in Tampa? There are a lot of good recruits in Tampa. There are a lot of good high school players in Tampa. I don't know. Maybe I'm connecting the dots that aren't there. But the whatever Houston Nutt's lawyer was able to uncover was enough for the administration at Ole Miss to say, okay, that's it. We're done. So it must have been very incriminating.
And it's interesting to me because you talk about some of these cases, and I think the one that historically that always gets brought up is, okay, well, they weren't able to get Al Capone on his on the first charges, so they got him on tax evasion. They weren't able to get O.J. Simpson on the first charges. They kind of drummed up the second charges. He had 14 NCAA violations, and this is what gets him. It's amazing to me that I was shocked that he was able to get past the fact that Laramie Tunsil on live television on his draft night said that he was paid by an assistant coach. And it shocks me to this day that wasn't the end of it right there.
The end could have been coming, though, with the NCAA.
That's true.
And I think eventually it was going to catch up with him. What was happening at Ole Miss with the violations they looked into and this case that Houston Nutt's lawyer was able to uncover. It just seems like there was so much going on there. Eventually, he was going to get busted for doing something wrong, and they were going to run him out of there. And maybe if the NCAA violations come down, that's enough to get him booted.
And I see that. Like, I kind of agree with that. But the school, because Houston Nutt was suing the foundation. He was suing the school, mm-hmm. not Hugh Freeze. So the school had tactically come up with this smear campaign on Houston Nutt to try to presumably save Hugh Freeze. So, yes, if the NCAA comes down heavily with violations, maybe that ends it. But this school had a very clear and direct idea of, okay, we're going to go all in on this to try to save him.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the cases that happened at Penn State and Baylor, and I'm not comparing this to those cases, but oftentimes the universities are going to circle the wagons around the coach to save their
That's
own
true.
Butt. And those cases were extreme, obviously. But I could see them doing that at Ole Miss, too. And then eventually you get to the point where you can't circle the wagons anymore, and you're like, all right, you're going under the bus. And that's basically what they did, because if Hugh Freeze doesn't resign, the AD or the president, I forget who I read in the story, said he was going to get fired anyway. So he was done. So they stick with you as long as they can to protect their own butt, and then when it's time to roll, they roll.
Now, we were talking about this, and I brought up you covering recruiting, and I want to just go back to 2013 when this all began, and when Laquan Treadwell and Laramie Tunsil and Robert Kimdichie, these five-star recruits, were just pouring in at Ole Miss on a team that was 4-8 the year before and then 6-6 the year after. Did that raise the eyebrows of a lot of people that cover recruiting?
Yeah, I think so. I think whenever something like that is, usually it's a process. You maybe get one or two kids or you know, hey, you beat out, you know, an Arkansas or somebody who was doing better in the SEC at that time. You beat them out for a couple of recruits and you kind of have momentum and get momentum. There was no momentum. It just started right away. It was like, boom, they're signing these 4- and 5-star guys right out of the chute. And it didn't make a lot of sense. And in hindsight now, you know, when we, you know, with Tunsil coming out saying he was getting paid, you wonder if there'll be more stories like that come out of, you know, as this investigation gets deeper. Now that Freeze is gone, who knows? Maybe he's a little bit more forthcoming, or, you know, some of the kids that he recruited are.
Well, yeah, I thought Laramie Tunsil was the first domino to fall, and maybe there would be more, but the NCAA still hasn't ruled on their investigation on and what the circumstances will be around the Ole Miss football program. We'll get to this during Love It or Leave It, and I know we have a prize to give away. We'll get to that in just a second. In the next hour, we're going to give away some Colonels tickets. But I feel bad for, and this happens every time something like a coach gets fired, a coach leaves. I feel bad for the kids that are still left in that program. And it was brought up by Joel Klatt yesterday of Fox Sports. He thinks that they should be able to transfer without having to sit out a year. Do you have any – what do you think about that?
I mean, they did that at Penn State. And
they
that
did.
Obviously was an extreme case. I don't think they did that at Baylor.
They didn't do it at Baylor.
So,
they didn't do it at USC.
No. So, you know, I don't know. The transfer rules, it's a whole different, bigger discussion, I think, that, you know, a coach can leave for another job whenever he wants, or a school can fire a coach whenever, but the student-athlete is you know, basically locked up for that year. If they transfer, they're going to have to sit out a year at their future school. And maybe that needs to be looked at. Maybe that rule, or maybe in situations like this where a coach, you know, there's a controversy like this or something that, you know, some turmoil at a school or something that's a bigger event, they can let them move on. But it's a huge can of worms.
It is.
Because you're letting these kids pretty much go wherever they want at this point, and then the sharks are in the water. Oh, look, it's like free agency in college football. Do you do it in basketball as well? There's, 700 transfers a year in basketball? So I don't know. To me, I would say you've got to change the rule first and maybe revisit the rule about maybe some guidelines to when kids can transfer. Because the graduate transfer rule, another thing we'll touch on in Love It or Leave It, is kind of a loophole anyway.
It is.
Does the NCAA need to revisit the transfer rules in cases when coaches leave, especially when a coach just, you know, like this, where it just comes up, what are we, a month away from the season? And boom, now these kids have a new coach, and, you know, their lives have changed. And they tell you when you commit to a university or a program, to commit to the school, not the coach, but we all know that it doesn't work that way.
319-366-1600. We're going to take our first break of the day, and then Kyle, back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, will bring you your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Todd's out. Rob Howe's in. On the way after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Show your support for area veterans and join the Cedar Rapids Skyhawks for Warbirds over Iowa July 22nd. See radio-controlled scale military aircraft with proceeds benefiting the Honor Flight of Eastern Iowa. The event is free to watch and is open to all ages.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
It's even easier for neighbors to help neighbors these days. Fairfax State Savings Bank has been helping their neighbors get ahead for years. And with their new bank house in Amana, it's easier than ever to work with a bank that's wherever you need them to be. Both locations have the latest things like e-banking and mobile deposit, but what makes them really different is their ability to make it easy for you to get that loan. And that hasn't changed a bit. Visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, Bank House is a division of Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Daryl Bewley here with Toyota of Iowa City. Most of you are aware that we have really amazing lease and finance specials going on right now on most of our new Toyotas or outstanding cash back options. It's the perfect time for you to come see us and check out the options and all the details. However, many of you may not be fully aware of our fantastic Toyota Certified Used Vehicle Program, which includes 12 months or 12,000 miles of comprehensive warranty, 7 years of limited powertrain warranty, and 1 year of roadside assistance. These vehicles must also pass a 160-point inspection before they can be certified. Also, all used vehicles we sell here at Toyota of Iowa City come with free oil changes and tire rotations for 2 full years with no mileage restrictions. So if you're in the market for a new Toyota or for a really dependable used vehicle, Toyota of Iowa City has got you covered. Come on in and get all the details at Toyota of Iowa City. We're on Highway 1 right off 218 in Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
It's you and I Panther Night at the Colonels this Friday night. The first 1,000 fans get a free purple You and I t-shirt and see You and I mascot TC on the concourse. Visit colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Business is all about having the right connections. And with American Airlines' nonstop flight to Charlotte, North Carolina, from the Eastern Iowa Airport, you have more than 600. Whether you need to get to a meeting in Washington, D.C., or a conference in Paris, flying nonstop to American Airlines' second largest hub will get you there. And with two daily flights, you'll get there and back when you need to. Connect for business at the Eastern Iowa Airport. More seats, more flights, more options. Book tickets now at flycid.com.
Welcome back to the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square development. $2 domestic pints, $2.50 domestic bottles. That is their happy hour until 7 p.m. Come in and join us. Cardinals and the Cubs kicking off their series, their weekend series, on the north side of Chicago. The Cubs are up 3-2 heading in the top of the eighth inning. The old nine-run top of the eighth inning by the Cardinals. They lead 11-3. In the top of the ninth inning. Alex Kuhn alongside Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. We're going to get to Jeremy Birmingham of the Land of Ten just coming up at 4:35. That will wrap up a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We're going to send it back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, and Kyle will bring you your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Former Iowa State point guard Monte Morris earned himself a deal with his summer league play this month as he reached an agreement today on a two-way contract with the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets selected Morris 51st overall in last month's draft, and he averaged 9 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, and a steal for their summer league team. A two-way contract suggests he'll spend significant time in the G League, but could be used by the NBA team at any time. The Class 1A Iowa State baseball tournament is getting started today at Principal Park in Des Moines, including Northland's quarterfinal game with defending champion Ramsen St. Mary's. Unfortunately for the Lynx, their season ended with a 5-1 loss, but not until after they went 41-3 and became conference and district champions. Lisbon will also play tomorrow at 1:30. On the softball side of things, Kennedy beat Urbandale 5-3 this afternoon to claim third place in Class 4A. The Cedar Rapids Colonels took one on the chin last night, falling 10-0 to the Great Lakes Loons. It was the fifth time the Colonels have been shut out in the team's last 9 games, and they'll try to get that offense going for the series finale tonight to avoid the sweep. They'll have Evan Sanders on the mound opposite A.J. Alexi for the Loons, and that game starts at 6:35. Tonight on KGYM, we'll have the Twins starting a series at home with the Detroit Tigers. 11-6 Irvin Santana will be on the hill for the Twins, facing Anibal Sanchez for the Tigers. And you'll be able to catch First Pitch right after our show on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
The Cardinals and Cubs, the only day game in Major League Baseball today. Once again, 11-3, the Cardinals lead in the bottom of the ninth inning. The Monte Morris news right there, and that's a new wrinkle to the NBA, Rob. The two-way contracts, where it wasn't in the past, the D League, now called the G League, was really not a very effective farm system for the NBA. Now he'll have the chance to kind of play both in the G League and the NBA. I kind of like the NHL does things with two-way contracts. What did you think about his game? Kind of, I know you're not an NBA expert, but translating.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was always going to be, you know, can he stick with some of the quicker point guards and can he consistently hit his outside shot and get a little bit stronger? But those are all things that rookies, for the most part, rookies have to get used to that anyway. And I was thinking about this the other day. There just aren't a lot of as good as the programs are in the state, there aren't a lot of guys that are in the NBA. So it is, you know, I know I cover Iowa, but it'd be great to see somebody from Iowa State stick in the league. And Niang got released, so he's out. I'm not sure what the future will be for Jared Uthoff. I would guess Peter Jock is headed overseas at some point. So it'd be nice to see if Morris could stick.
We are going to get to a bottom of the hour Sports Center update, which is being brought to you by Infinity Skincare. Infinity Skincare, we will get you that reader in just a few seconds. We will head to a bottom of the hour Sports Center update, which will precede Jeremy Birmingham of the Land of Ten. He covers the Ohio State Buckeyes. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
When I looked at that picture, I couldn't believe the dude with the bald patch was me. My buddy said he'd probably look the same way if he wasn't getting PRP at Infinity Skincare. I didn't believe him because he has really good hair, but it's legit. PRP for male baldness is a state-of-the-art treatment that stimulates hair follicles for thicker, fuller hair. And Infinity Skincare at Coralville has it.
Infinity Skincare is getting great results for guys just like you. No surgery, no downtime. Find out more about PRP for male pattern baldness at Infinity Skincare. Health.com.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Infinity Skincare, getting great results for guys just like you with PRP for male pattern baldness. No surgery, no downtime. Find out more at InfinitySkinHealth.com.
Wants to lead his own team and no longer wants to play alongside LeBron James. Irving averaged a career-high 25 points and 6 assists a game last season, 1 year after winning the NBA title. ESPN has also learned the Cavaliers are planning to hire Kobe Altman as the team's new GM. He's been the interim GM since the team fired David Griffin in June. After declining his player option to save the team some cap space, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports Pau Gasol will sign a new 3-year deal with the Spurs. Gasol will start his 17th NBA season in the fall. Halfway through the Open Championship in England, Jordan Spieth is the leader at 6-under par. He's 2 shots ahead of fellow American Matt Kuchar. Baseball today at Wrigley, the Cardinals get 9 runs in the 8th inning. They break the game wide open. They lead the Cubs 11-3 in the 9th.
Right now at Pizza Hut, get 50% off all menu-priced pizzas when you order online for a limited time. That's 50% off your favorites, like hand-tossed pepperoni, meat lovers, or even original pan supreme. But hurry, this deal ends soon. No one out-pizzas the Hut.
The Ford Summer Sales event is in full swing.
Is your truck going to be able to handle all these pavers for the patio?
No problem. The F-150 has got a high-strength, military-grade aluminum alloy body.
Oh.
With best-in-class payload, the F-150 can handle the work you need it to.
Remember when I had a high-strength, military-grade body?
I don't, actually. It's always a
good time. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand, during the Ford Summer Sales event. Hurry and get our hottest offers during the Ford Summer Sales event, like 0% financing for 60 months on select Ford F-150s. Plus, get an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Offer ends July 31st. Best-selling based on 2016 sales when properly equipped. Classes full-size pickups under 8,500 pounds. GVWR based on Ford segmentation. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 60 months at $1,667 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade-assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after new retail delivery. Not available on Raptor. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by July 31st, 2017.
Here's the scoop on garden soil. Sometimes it needs help from the Home Depot, where bags of Miracle-Gro garden soil are a special buy, 3 for just $10. It improves existing soil with nutrients plants need for stronger roots, so they'll hit the ground running, starting with much better ground. Miracle-Gro garden soil, 3 bags, $10. Now at the number one retailer for Scott's Miracle-Gro, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last. Contiguous U.S. only. Limit 80 per customer.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries. This is Steven. How can I help you?
Hey, Steven. I'm wondering if you have any deals on oil this month?
Yeah, we're running 5 quarts of Pennzoil, conventional or high mileage, for $19.99, the pure liter filter.
Okay, sounds good.
And be sure to sign up for Speed Perks for even more savings.
Awesome. Thanks.
Now at Advance Auto, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional or high mileage motor oil and a pure liter filter for just $19.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Also at participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYN.
The countdown to kickoff has one more stop, and we saved what many people think is the best for last. Alex Kuhn alongside Rob Howe. The Ohio State Buckeyes last season finished their season in the college football playoff with a 31-0 loss to the Clemson Tigers. We know about the expectations there every single year. And to talk about that, we bring in Jeremy Birmingham of the Land of Ten. Jeremy, how's your Friday?
Not bad. How about yourself?
We're doing well here at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub. The question that I want to start with is Urban Meyer. I feel like it's been kind of a two-year frustration in losses. Has been a little bit frustrated with the offense. He made some changes during the offseason. He brought in Kevin Wilson to be the offensive coordinator. What in particular was he frustrated with on the offensive side of the ball?
I think the main thing for the Buckeyes was really that after the 2014 season and the 2015 national championship, they finally felt at that time that they had their offense exactly kind of where they wanted it. And then what happened then,
you go and you lose Tom Herman to, you know, Houston, and the offense sort of is forced to change a little bit. You see the new guys come in. Tim Beck takes over as the quarterback's coach, and Ed Warner transitions into offensive coordinator. And there was just never that continuity that Urban had with Tom Herman. And I think that someone like Kevin Wilson, who's obviously a strong personality and a guy that Urban Meyer has known and respected for a long time, I think that there's a really good opportunity for him to be a difference maker in the offense, because what they really need is for someone that Urban Meyer is willing to relent a little bit of the responsibility to, and I think that Kevin Wilson will be that type of player, that type of coach, sorry.
You lead me right into my next question. The strong personality of Kevin Wilson, he's obviously one of the top offensive minds in college football. From what you were able to see, what is that relationship like?
Well, we haven't seen a whole lot of it so far. We only had a handful of days in the spring that we got to see Kevin Wilson and Meyer work hand in hand. But from what I've seen just at camps this summer, is Wilson has sort of taken a step back and become a sort of a background figure at camps, and working very closely with the recruits and the kids at camps, not really being the rah-rah guy or the vocal guy. So, you know, from my talks with different players on the football team over the last few months, they are very excited about where the offense is going, not just with Kevin Wilson, but also with the new quarterback's coach, Ryan Day.
The offensive line last year was young, obviously talented with the recruits that they get there. 28 sacks allowed, I think 6 against Penn State. How much of a focus has that been in the offseason? And was it just growing pains, or was it personnel?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. There were some issues injury-wise that Isaiah Prince was playing with most of the year. The Buckeyes really didn't get the productivity out of him that they would have hoped for. Of those 28 sacks, 6 were at Penn State, 7 were against Michigan. They really just had a couple games where everything kind of was lost, and you just looked at an offensive line, looked like they had no idea what they were doing. This year you're replacing Pat Elflein, who was the Remington Award winner at center, with Billy Price, who's a 4-year starter on the offensive line, and Billy will move into the center position that sort of shore up that spot and be the new anchor in the middle. You have Isaiah Prince back healthy, Michael Jordan back healthy, Jamarco Jones is an All-Big Ten player. And then they're trying to fill one guard spot, and they're hoping that third-year guy Matt Burrell out of Virginia, who was a top 100 recruit coming in, that the lights finally come on for him, and then he's able to step into that role. So that part of the puzzle is a really under-discussed piece of JT Barrett's struggles last year in the passing game, because the inability to have time to throw the ball was a major problem for the Ohio State offense last year.
Just talking about JT Barrett, what is kind of the overarching opinion of him with the fans, and what are the expectations like for him in his senior season?
I think part of the feeling that fans have about JT Barrett is tainted by the expectations, because at Ohio State, no matter who you are or where you come from, the expectation is that you're going to be the best player of all time for some reason. And JT Barrett has actually gone in the last 3 years and is on the verge of breaking every Big Ten quarterback record pretty much, and Ohio State quarterback record, and still that seems to not be enough for a lot of Buckeye fans. So I think that people are anxious to see if he can return to the form that he had in 2014 as a redshirt freshman, when he was tearing up the Big Ten through the air and on the ground. You know, I think this year he's going to have his first full group of actual wide receivers, which is a nice change for him. They've had a lot of those combination guys, people like Dontre Wilson and Curtis Samuel, who, as good as they are,
are more running backs that have been moved around to try to fill some holes. So this year the wide receiving core should be better, and JT should be a much more accurate passer, again, if he gets time to throw the ball.
Speaking of the receiving core, I know that's a big emphasis this offseason. What is it going to look like this season? Who are some of the names that will step up without the names that you just brought up in Noah Brown and Curtis Samuel?
Well, I think the big names that you should look for are people that you did see a little bit last year. K.J. Hill, who was a really underutilized guy a year ago and kind of under the radar, but he's a really good wide receiver. Outside of K.J. Hill, you have players like Benjamin Victor, who Ohio State's coaching staff is very high on, but he hasn't been able to put all the pieces together. And then you have Austin Mack, a sophomore out of Indiana that they're expecting big things from. And then outside of that, you really hope that Marcus Baugh, fifth-year tight end, is really going to be utilized a lot more this year.
Flipping to the other side of the ball, obviously the loss of McMillan in the middle of that defense, what's the plan there? And with Hooker and company leaving the secondary, is that the biggest question mark really on the team, or at least on that side of the ball, the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, you can't understate the loss of the leadership of Raekwon McMillan, but the Buckeyes are fortunate to have Chris Worley to plug into the middle, who's a fifth-year senior, a guy that's going to be a captain. He's a player that really gets it, and with the loss of Raekwon, Chris Worley has stepped up, and he had a really good year a year ago playing on the outside because of the injury to Dante Booker. This year with Dante Booker back and ready to go, the Buckeyes will have Dante Booker and Chris Worley and Jerome Baker at the linebacker spot. So it should be a pretty good group. The question at linebacker is really more about depth. In the secondary, obviously, when you lose three first-round picks in one position group, it's going to be hard to replace, but the Buckeyes have been as good as anybody in the country at replacing defensive backs over the last few years. So Jordan Fuller, who's a sophomore out of New Jersey, Jordan Fuller is going to be a starter in the secondary at one of the two safety spots that are now open. And then you have Damon Webb opposite him, who has high expectations. And then at cornerback, it's really going to come down to Kendall Sheffield, who's a transfer from Blinn Community College in Texas. He was a five-star prospect coming out of high school who went to Alabama and transferred after his freshman season at Bama. The Buckeyes are expecting big things from him, and he's sort of the plan is kind of that he's a one-year rental and should be able to come in and start and move on to the NFL after this year. And then you have Denzel Ward, who a lot of people think is a first-round pick as well. So there is certainly some questions behind that group, but you have a lot of talented freshmen like Jeffrey Okuda and Sean Wade, who were both the number one and number two ranked cornerbacks in the country a year ago coming out of high school. They're extremely talented and extremely deep at cornerback, but when you lose a playmaker like Malik Hooker, you certainly are going to have some questions about how you replace that at the safety position.
Is there a case to be made that Ohio State has the deepest and best defensive line in college football?
Yeah, I don't think that I'm not sure that there's many teams that can argue that. I mean, Clemson obviously is a pretty good defensive line. Alabama always does. But the Ohio State's defensive line with Sam Hubbard and Tyquan Lewis and Jalen Holmes and Nick Bosa, and those are just the defensive ends. Then you're not even talking about guys like Tracy Sprinkle and Michael Hill and Draymond Jones. They're going to go 10 or 11 deep on the defensive line and rotate them in and out fairly regularly. And it's going to be a real challenge for Big Ten offensive lines to stay fresh with that group because, I mean, I'm not even breaking into the second round of guys like Chase Young and Jonathan Cooper and Darius Slade. So it's a really deep group and really good. Larry Johnson is excited about what he has at the defensive line position.
What does Urban think of this is my, I think, 21st season covering Big Ten football. It's just to think about Ohio State playing in Indiana on a Thursday night in August, I just never saw that coming. What's kind of the opinion of you know, Urban and the team and just kind of the vibe in Columbus about playing, opening the season with a road game in the Big Ten?
Yeah, it's a little strange. About, I think it was 2010, Ohio State opened the season on a Thursday night against Marshall. It was a little weird. There's no doubt about it. But what I'm hoping actually to speak to Urban Meyer about that next week at Big Ten Media Days, not just about what that is like to play at Indiana on a Thursday night, but for the first time in his career at Ohio State, he's playing at Iowa, he's playing at Nebraska. So this is a unique season for Ohio State on the scheduling front.
You mentioned a couple of names, and I, following the recruiting trail, a lot of people lauded this 2017 recruiting class as one of the best that Urban Meyer's ever had, which is really saying a lot. Who are some of those names that could come in as freshmen or newcomers and make a big-time difference right away?
Yeah, I think the one name for me is Chase Young, the defensive end. He's just so good that even in a group as deep as that, I expect him to play. I think beyond that, J.K. Dobbins, who's a running back, is going to push Mike Weber for playing time, and I'm not going to be surprised if he gets a lot more carries than people think. Beyond that pair, I think the secondary is really the area. You're going to see Jeffrey Okuda and Sean Wade get a lot of reps, and then a linebacker with Baron Browning, who is an early enrollee from Texas, who's a five-star, number one ranked outside linebacker in the country. He's the next guy I think that they're really expecting to step up and be a leader at the linebacker group, although he did suffer a torn labrum in his shoulder in spring ball, so he missed all the spring, but he should be back and ready to go by the time the season begins.
Is there a game on the schedule where you look at and think this is the maybe the most important of the season?
Well, I mean, I obviously the schedule in itself, it seems manageable, but obviously the Oklahoma game is one that you have to get through and win. I think that the Iowa game and the Nebraska game are both set up to be fairly difficult places to go in and win when they're going to be asked to do it. Nebraska, obviously, Ohio State beat 62-3 a year ago, and they're sort of on the cusp of really reawakening their program, and they have to have that sort of marquee win on their record. Iowa, obviously, Kinnick is always an incredibly difficult place to play, especially I expect that one to be a night game, and that's going to make it all the more difficult. We saw what they did to Michigan last year there, so. And then, of course, you know, the Michigan game is always the Michigan game. And Penn State is – the Ohio State-Penn State game may be the biggest game of the season in the Big Ten. So it's a difficult schedule that I think if the Buckeyes are able to work their way through it, they should see themselves in the college football playoff.
Jeremy Birmingham of the Land of Ten, our last stop on the countdown to kickoff. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, Jeremy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Ohio State, it is unbelievable.
I was laughing at him. They've got the number one and two ranked cornerbacks in, you know, that were recruited, the number one and two ranked cornerbacks in the country to just step in.
Well, he's rattling off pass rushers and rattling off defensive linemen that are going to make an impact, and he follows that by saying, "Oh, that's just those are just the defensive ends." And oh, by the way, there's a five-star freshman who will probably find his way into the lineup because he's so good. The job that Urban Meyer does year in and year out, when you see them lose first-round draft pick after first-round draft pick and reload with first-round draft pick after first-round draft pick, it really has kind of turned the Big Ten upside down.
Yeah, and I think that's the part that gets overlooked about him as a coach is I think people think, oh, he just recruits, but he still has to prepare those guys and get them ready to play at a high level. And, yeah, a lot of them are naturally gifted, but to, you know, recruit these kids and have them wait their turn in some cases and then just put them in there and have them perform at such a high level, it is. And people thought when he came into the league and he said, you know, the schools in this conference need to recruit better, it was basically a warning. Because he was going to recruit his butt off, and he has done that. And now with Harbaugh in there, Penn State's recruiting at a high level, it makes it that much difficult for everybody else. And I think the team that's going to suffer the most from all this, the return of Michigan and Penn State, is Michigan State.
And it's been a just absolutely miserable 10 or 11 months for Michigan State with the sexual assault allegations with four players and the investigations, Alpha 3-9 season. And we were talking about this. When we went to Big Ten Media Day in Chicago last year, this time last year, there was nothing that could derail Mark D'Antoni. Now, you look at it and you say his seat is warming just a little bit, is it not?
Yeah, and he came in and did such a good job building this program, and in a way, he's almost got to rebuild it again from what has happened last year, because I don't think anybody saw a 3-9 season coming. And then, as you said, with the off-field allegations. that's not always easy to rebound from. I mean, you got to get everybody back on the same page. You got to make sure everybody's, you know, the chemistry is what it is, because obviously there were some issues in there with some of the players they recruited, and you hope that the rest of the guys on the team, you don't have any more of those bad apples.
There's a little bit of weather in the area. We're going to take a quick break now. We'll check up on that. We'll give you the updates. If you're listening to us on 106.3 FM in Iowa City, come on into the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. You're also listening to us on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update after this.
Woohoo! I love this!
You aren't doing anything.
What do you mean? I'm skydiving!
No, you're not.
Sure I am. Look at me. I read a book about it. I've got this fancy parachute, and I'm on the plane. I'm awesome.
You seem to have forgotten the most important part. You have to step outside the plane. If you don't, you're just a passenger circling around and around.
Oh.
A lot of us feel like this. We really believe we're learning and growing. But in reality, we're just traveling the same old orbit. To make a difference in yourself, a difference in the people around you, you have to do something different. Consider it mental skydiving. A good starting place might be the Global Leadership Summit, August 10th and 11th. Get a feel for this world-class event at willowcreek.com. Register today for the Global Leadership Summit at willowcreek.com. This message brought to you by Jeff and Terry Carlson of Warehouse Auto.
Summer can really shine a light on your damaged pavement. Fixing it can be more affordable than you think. Stop dodging those cracks and potholes and call Pate Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at pateasphalt.com.
Mike and Mike on the Gym is presented by Hertzian and Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, downtown Iowa City. Stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Woohoo! I love this!
You aren't doing anything.
What do you mean? I'm skydiving!
No, you're not.
Sure I am. Look at me. I read a book about it. I've got this fancy parachute, and I'm on the plane. I'm awesome.
You seem to have forgotten the most important part. You have to step outside the plane. If you don't, you're just a passenger circling around and around.
Oh.
A lot of us feel like this. We really believe we're learning and growing. But in reality, we're just traveling the same old orbit. To make a difference in yourself, a difference in the people around you, you have to do something different. Consider it mental skydiving. A good starting place might be the Global Leadership Summit, August 10th and 11th. Get a feel for this world-class event at willowcreek.com. Register today for the Global Leadership Summit at willowcreek.com. This message brought to you by Jeff and Terry Carlson of Warehouse Auto.
Summer can really shine a light on your damaged pavement. Fixing it can be more affordable than you think. Stop dodging those cracks and potholes and call Pate Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at pateasphalt.com.
Welcome back to KGYM Radio. Alex Kuhn alongside Rob Howe. You heard the EAS system. There is some weather in the area. There has been, the National Weather Service has issued a tornado warning for Johnson County until 5:45 p.m. The University of Iowa releasing a statement saying to seek immediate shelter. So we're going to keep you updated on the weather alerts as they come in to us. While we are doing this Midwest One Bank Big Board update, we're going to gather a little bit more information. So we're going to send it back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Kyle Mann, the Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Former Iowa State point guard Monte Morris earned himself a deal with his summer league play this month as he reached an agreement today on a two-way contract with the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets selected Morris 51st overall in last month's draft, and he averaged 9 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, and a steal for their summer league team. A two-way contract suggests he'll spend significant time in the G League, but he can be used by the NBA team at any time. The Class 1A Iowa State Baseball Tournament is getting started today at Principal Park in Des Moines, and that included Northland's quarterfinal game with defending champion Remsen St. Mary's. Unfortunately for the Lynx, their season ended with a 5-1 loss, but not until after they had went 41-3 and become conference and district champions. Lisbon will also play tomorrow at 1:30. On the softball side of things, Kennedy beat Urbandale 5-3 this afternoon to claim third place in Class 4A. The Cedar Rapids Colonels took one on the chin last night, falling 10-0 to the Great Lakes Loons. It was the fifth time the Colonels have been shut out in the team's last nine games, and they'll try to get that offense going for the series finale tonight to avoid the sweep. It'll be Evan Sanders on the mound opposite A.J. Alexi for the Loons, and that'll start at 6:35. Tonight on KGYM, we'll have the Twins starting a series at home with the Tigers. 11-6 Irvin Santana will be on the hill for the Twins, facing Anibal Sanchez for the Tigers. And you'll be able to catch First Pitch right after our show on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
Once again, a tornado warning in Johnson County affecting parts of Johnson County until 5:45 p.m. We're gathering information here as we sit at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Alex Kuhn alongside Rob Howe. Thank you to Jeremy Birmingham of the Land of Ten for joining us to wrap up what has been an interesting countdown to kickoff here on KGYM, leading us up to what is going to be an exciting Monday and Tuesday at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place in Chicago. Not in downtown Chicago. I learned my lesson on that, Rob. It is not downtown Chicago.
Used to be for years. It used to be downtown.
Did they redraw the lines? Or
I think they got a better deal at the McCormick Place.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that the Big Ten Media Day used to be downtown.
Right.
I thought you were saying the Hyatt Regency used to be considered.
No, they didn't move the hotel. No, they had it. It used to be at the Sheridan, which was right off of right downtown, right off of Michigan. And then a few years ago, they had it downtown as well. But the McCormick seems like the place they've landed on, and it is easier to drive in and out of. But it's kind of, you don't get as much of the downtown and you know, access to the restaurants and stuff like that. As from a selfish standpoint.
We're going to keep you updated on the weather. We'll be back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Hold everything for less. The Pack Store Save event is going on now at the Home Depot, and the shelves are full.